The Trump administration's proposed ban of transgender military members was temporarily blocked yesterday. A judge for the Federal District Court for the District of Columbia ruled the military's current policy of allowing transgender members should remain in place. The ban was set to go into effect next March. Since taking over the White House in January, the Trump administration has found itself, at least temporarily, on the losing end of a number of court battles, including on issues like the proposed travel bans and sanctuary cities. To give us perspective on how unique this is for an administration still in its first year, I turn to Josh Blackman. He's a constitutional law professor at the South Texas College of Law in Houston. Josh, does it seem like this administration is more heavily involved with the courts than prior administrations, at least at this early stage?
Well, there's nothing new with people turning to the courts when they lose elections. Over the last 8 years during the Obama presidency, Republican attorneys general across the country would sue the president for many prospective violations of the Constitution. What I've seen here, I think, is different is how the judiciary has responded. Generally, courts are deferential to the executive's powers, especially in the sphere of national security. In these cases, however, the courts have jumped over a lot of those prudential barriers to rule against the president, in particular on the travel ban case, in ways that I frankly have been stunned by since the beginning of the administration in January.
There are so many different things that can occur because there may be a circuit that is, let's say, more progressive, another circuit that may be more conservative. Does that make it harder to actually draw conclusions about some of this, depending on where a particular case ends up or who has brought the case, especially in the travel ban? There were several states that brought it, for example.
I don't blame the lawyers, right? If you're a Democrat attorney general and you want to challenge the travel ban, you're going to bring the suit in Hawaii or Maryland or in California. You're not going to bring it in Texas or Mississippi. So it's completely rational about where these lawsuits are being filed. But the point that I think is significant to stress is that the way these judges are ruling is very different than how previous judges have ruled before. With respect to the travel ban in the 1950s, Congress enacted a statute that said the president can deny entry to classes of aliens that he deems detrimental to American interests. And it's a fairly open-ended statute. It's been exercised by presidents going back to Carter and Reagan and Clinton and Bush. Generally, when the president exercises this power, he does it in a fairly brief way. He writes maybe one or two sentences saying, I find these aliens detrimental. President Trump issued a 30-page memorandum explaining his decisions. And recently, courts said that's not enough. The mere fact that past presidents have invoked this power with one or two sentences shouldn't matter, right? Because maybe all those presidents were acting legally. Now, there's never been an allegation that these past presidents were acting illegally. It's only now, with President Trump, that these new standards have been discovered. And I think it's unfortunate that that judges are sort of, I think, moving the goalposts, so to speak, because what they perceive as President Trump's threats, the precedents established here will last long beyond the Trump administration.
Well, are the courts becoming even more politicized? We've certainly seen it at the Supreme Court level. Have we been seeing that in the lower circuits as well?
Well, I'm very hesitant to use the word political. What I will say is that the courts have, I think, taken it upon themselves to respond in kind to what they see as a threat from the Trump administration. I actually would agree with their assessment. I think President Trump is quite dangerous in office, but I don't think this is a decision for the judiciary to make. There was one judge in Hawaii who wrote this opinion saying, we will not hide, I will not cower against this administration, almost as if he's confronting them. So in their minds, I think they're acting sincerely and in good faith that they're trying to enforce the rule of law and the separation of powers. But if you take a step back, the sorts of opinions they're writing are very hard to reconcile with the court's traditional role in this sphere of national security.
Is there any reason to think that the team that President Trump has is not as up to the task as others would be in terms of defending his policies?
No, to the contrary. I actually think Trump's lawyers have done a fantastic job, and they've done it under very inhospitable circumstances. I mean, keep in mind, President Trump says all these dumb things on Twitter, and he attacks judges, and he makes their job a lot tougher. So I think the Trump administration lawyers are solid. The problem is they're arguing against a bench that is simply not receptive to their arguments. And when you're making these arguments to a judge that's simply not receptive to them, it doesn't matter how good your positions are.
So, Josh, we often hear the word, and because we all think we know what it means, if something is unconstitutional, does it feel like at all to you, as someone who's a legal scholar, that over the past 10 months it's been harder to figure out what that actually means?
Yes. I think it's a difficult question because President Trump pushes boundaries in ways that past presidents haven't. He doesn't follow the norms of what you usually expect of a president, and I think that's problematic from a political perspective. But on the legal front, his lawyers are actually fairly scrupulous, at least after the inauguration. The policies they've crafted have tried very hard to conform with the rulings of the courts, rulings which they don't agree with. And at every juncture when they've tried to conform the rulings what the courts have dictated and provided, they've been rebuffed. So at this point, we've had three iterations of the travel ban. And what these judges have said is basically the president's permanently disabled from instituting this policy because of past statements and things he said. I don't think that's a proper reading of presidential power, and it's one that I don't think the Supreme Court will uphold in the end.
Josh Blackman is a constitutional law professor at the South Texas College of Law in Houston.